This weekend we celebrate Respect Life Sunday, and October is Respect Life Month. And as I was preparing my homily today, and I do this every year, I think, why in the world do we Catholics need a Respect Life Month? Why? Shouldn't that be in our very DNA? Shouldn't we be eating, sleeping, working, dreaming the value of human life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death? Shouldn't there be so much in us that everything we do claims that life is valuable? And not just say it, but we live it. That we do what we're called to do to uphold life. But apparently, I guess we're oftentimes better sons and daughters of Adam and Eve than we are sons and daughters of God. So we need this reminder. And it's not a reminder that we human beings have come up with, really, it's all through Scripture. God is constantly reminding us that He came to redeem all people, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. He wants everyone to be saved. No one needs to be left out. And unfortunately, because this is October and next month, as you know, what month when we go to the polls, I think a lot of people think, well, I'll do my duty by voting for this candidate or that candidate, and then I can go home and continue to live my comfortable life and give at least lip service to the value of life, but not actually give my blood to supporting the value of life. But we do it, hopefully, or we keep trying to do it better and better, because this is what God wants. This is what God wants. God wants all of us to value every human life and to do what it takes, no matter what it takes. Again, it may be the shedding of our blood in order to not just respect and value every human life, but to defend it. To say, no, this is an absolute value, I cannot let go of it, and I will do what I need to do to support it, no matter what it is. And if I have to take in somebody into my, well, we all could do that, take somebody into our home who is in need. But do we even think that way? Or do, again, we think, well, let the politicians, the government take care of it, or this organization take care of those who are in need, rather than we do it? I say to people, you know, you can't end abortion because we will always have it in some form somewhere. Somebody will be doing it. However, every one of us could stop abortions. What do I mean by that? Well, we step forward. We reach out to a woman who is in a pregnancy that maybe she's homeless. We take care of her. Bring her into our home. Or work with people from our parish to take care of her. The government's not going to do that, but we can. We can. So we can actually prevent abortions if we truly wanted to, but it means we have to give ourselves in order to do it. We have to give up our comfort. We may have to give up our quality of life, whatever it is, in order to give full-hearted assent to the value of human life. So I mention abortion because, as our Holy Father says again and again, and our bishops say again and again, that is the preeminent life value. The preeminent life value. There is no other value or right that is as important as that one. Yes, all the other ones are important too, but you can't talk about the right to good health care or to decent housing or education if you don't first and foremost support life. We know that. So, you know, we Christians, we Catholics, who have had wonderful popes who have made it very clear that we do this because this is what God wants of us, and if we have to give our lives in order to support those in need, whoever they are, the drug addict, the prostitute, the person who lives in poverty, the one who has a chronic illness, the Down syndrome child, doesn't matter. We are called to serve them. Why? Because God serves us in the same way. He values every single life. So again, for the Catholic Church, we do it because we're supposed to be modeling our lives on Jesus Christ. And He didn't value this life, but not that life. As God, He values fully and completely, equally, every single human life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. So we can't say that God doesn't value every human life. He does value every human life. Therefore, if we want to be his followers, his disciples, we need to follow along in his footsteps. And the readings that we have today are all about vineyards, about producing good fruit. Well, we produce good fruit to the extent that we listen to the word of God, the teachings of God, and live them, no matter what the cost. Yes, we may be rejected, we may be ridiculed, we may be killed for it. But the point is, we have to do it if we dare to call ourselves disciples of God. So we really do need this week and this month to remind us of what we're all about. We are the garden of the Lord, the vineyard of the Lord. We're supposed to be producing good fruit. And if you think of good fruit, well, it provides nourishment for others. Are we doing that? Are we literally feeding people so that they can be healthy? Are we giving them spiritual food, psychological food, emotional support, so that they can live dignified lives? Not that we give them that dignity. They already have it. That comes from God. I can't give it. I can't take it away from someone. But I can acknowledge it and do everything I can to make sure that life is always protected. Again, all of this unfortunately gets mixed up with politics and this personality or that personality. And yet we Christians, first and foremost, this is what Paul says, we are citizens of heaven, right? We're citizens of heaven. It's really by accident that we happen to be citizens of this country. And a really good citizen of heaven is going to be a great citizen of this country, but doesn't work the other way. So it doesn't matter what the laws are. It doesn't matter what this politician says or doesn't say. We know what God says. We know the value of life. And we will be held accountable more than anybody else. We will be held accountable when we go before God as to whether or not in our lives, not just our words, but our actions, we supported other people so that they could live the dignified life that God wants them to live. And that's a never-ending job. But again, I've said this again and again in other areas, God doesn't expect us to do it as individuals. That's why he created the church. We're supposed to be doing it as a church. And we have all sorts of organizations locally that do support life from womb to tomb. But that's not enough. We have to keep going out, finding those who are in need, who feel disvalued, who are left alone, the homeless, those who are ill, those who are lonely. Seek them out, not wait for them to come into the church, but to seek them out so that we can serve them. And not because we're some great redeemer or savior, no, Jesus is that, but simply because God says, that's what I do for you. I value your lives. I valued your life so much that I gave my only son up to death on a cross. How can we do less then in serving God, remembering how God calls us to be his disciples? So one person put it this way in regard to these readings today, we're fruit farmers, right? We're fruit farmers. We're called to produce good fruit, and that fruit is love. It's faith, it's hope, it's compassion, it's kindness, and it even may get mixed up with our blood because we truly believe that what God calls us to do, we can achieve. And especially as a church coming together, we can do more and more and more to seek out those who are lost, help them to find healing, support, whatever it might be, but to say to them, God loves you. You are the apple of God's eye. And I too want to love you because God loves you. So God gives us these values. He starts it off. All we have to do is follow in his footsteps. And yeah, again, it can be tiring. It can be painful. But remember again, who did it for us? Jesus. He did not count the cost. He went forward and did what he set out to do. And he says to us, you can do it too, because I am with you till the end of the world. You have my grace. You have the blessings of the church. What more can we ask for than what God has already given us? So it really shouldn't be just 1 month, Respect Life, but every month really is Respect Life. If we dare to call ourselves Christians and to come around the table of the Eucharist and receive the body and blood of the one who died for us, we should always be remembering how God loves each and every one of us, values each and one of us, and then says, go forth and do the same. Go forth and find those who do not feel valued. Treat them as your brothers and sisters. And all we do in that way, all we're doing really is nothing we invent or come up with, but following faithfully in the footsteps of God. So again, how are we going to do that? When we go forth from tonight, how will we keep our eyes open, our ears open? How will we go searching for those who are in need of our love? They're out there. Tens of thousands who have not heard about Christ and about his love, and we're called to bring that love to him in not just our words, but also our actions.